We have 35 pre-written messages.
You set the recording?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna call the meeting on Monday, June 8th. Would you do the roll call, Mike? Commissioner Schmidt?
Present.
Commissioner Weber?
Present.
Commissioner Niemer? Vice Chair Evans?
Present.
And Chair Shepherd?
Present.
All right. Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, so with that, we'll look to see if there's any public comment. Is there anybody up on the screen? It's like you. Nobody online. But thus, there being no public comment, we'll move right into discuss and review project manager proposals. Interview proposals.
I have my hand up. Are you guys not monitoring Zoom? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Okay, so I was wondering if you guys had made any decisions to put the job postings up to address the staff shortages and what your guys's next steps are. Do you guys have that on the agenda coming up, or do you have to, you know, do like a special ad hoc to develop the job descriptions? What are the next steps regarding that?
I'm not sure which jobs you're talking about specifically, Alicia. We do have a job announcement out for one of the maintenance positions. And obviously, this meeting today is to hire a project manager, which is going to help us out. And then in an upcoming meeting, we're going to have results of the RFP for the grant manager. So I think those three things are going to really help out.
Well, I mean, for the grant manager specific to those projects, but what about having an in-house grant manager that would also do revenue generation?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we should get into this in this particular forum right now, but maybe by email or something we can correspond on that.
I'll step in, Alicia. Yeah, this is Rick. Today's meeting is to discuss and review a project manager proposals. And we have a presentation that's going to be given here, and that's what we're here to listen to. We have scoring sheets to score it. This meeting is just strictly for a project manager.
But she has 3 minutes to say whatever she wants, public comment.
Yeah, I'm basically just asking again because
that comment should have been done before the meeting. If it's outside of this. Of what we're discussing today, if you're talking about another position, that should have been done before the meeting. And we started 10 minutes late, so
I think
she's okay. I'm literally following up on something that was brought up to you guys at previous meetings to get it addressed either on an agenda formally or have you guys create an ad hoc for the job descriptions so we can have in-house staff instead of over-reliance on expensive consultants. I brought this up to you multiple times. One of the positions would be an in-house grant manager that would also do revenue generation, which is a dire need for the harbor. It's about basic functionality. So it needs to be addressed, please.
Okay. Thank you very much, Alicia, for your comment. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Is there any other public comment? Okay. We'll move on. And are you guys ready with your presentation? Did we get it squared away? I'm not.
I think so.
Everything's just squared away.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
So thank you, board, for having us. My name is Jerry Holcomb.
And I'm Rob Sloop.
We're with Kimley Horn. Our firm is about 10,000 people, and we specialize, our particular backgrounds are specific in waterfront construction. But our company specializes in a lot of different expertise And those employees, we have over 10,000 employees. Over 1,000 of those are in the state of California. The offices throughout the coast of California, a localist being in Oakland, California. If you
this one?
Yeah.
So you're based out of Oakland, California?
Yeah. Yeah. And just a little bit of background about our team in general. So we've been here before. Myself, I'm a native to this area. I grew up in a home right down the street, a little bit before you get to White Rocks. My family's been in the area since about 2000, and we just sold my home. My father passed away recently, and I sold the home just in the last year. So I know this area well, and I know it's something I always have in my heart, just growing up here and knowing the coast. And just knowing that we're here for the good and the bad. You know, here's a picture of me outside in the sunny, and here's a picture of me and my family out in the beach in the cold and the rain. You know, I think we know the history of this harbor, what it's taken to get to this point. Rob, particularly, both of us came from a prior company, Moffett Nickel, that was involved in the design portion of it. Me being the engineer of record for the structural design portion,
I was the principal in charge. And I was here with you guys for all the stakeholders meeting. I met everybody, and you know, I was here when you needed us at the tsunami.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, afterwards, yeah. And so.
So you actually, I didn't. I'm sorry.
He was the engineer. He did all.
Oh, yeah.
He did all
I didn't know that.
That's right. Yeah, I was the structural engineer of record for the.
Okay. All right.
So he's cool. The engineer record. I'm the principal. So you're getting the folks.
We can't see the presentation online. It's not showing us the presentation online.
Excuse me.
Should we have a presentation going on right now?
We can't see it online on Zoom. We're not seeing it. It just says Board of Commissioners Special Harbor Meeting. Can you share your screen, please, Mike?
Yeah, it is sharing, Alicia, but I'm trying to switch it to the PowerPoint application. So I think what I'm going to do is just share the entire desktop. I'm not sure why, so...
And I'm sorry, but like the chat function and all that is not working. So I can't even chat for whatever reason. So I had to interrupt. So sorry, we can't see anything.
So the chat, I was able to see your chats earlier, Alicia. So I think that's working, but.
No, I don't have any chat at all function myself. I don't know if other participants do, but for whatever reason, I'm not able to chat in the chat here.
Do you see it now?
Yes, I do. Thank you.
Okay, where were we?
Did you get it? Yeah.
Good.
Okay.
You're doing the photo shoot for
he tortured his children for that shot.
Found a crab pot on the beach.
Yeah.
Yeah. Recycled for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah. And not only to the local knowledge, but also the project specific knowledge is what I was pointing to as well. That you know, obviously engineer record, we stakeholder engagement, we're aware of everything that it's taken to get to this point. And I think while the design team that's involved has done a great job, I think we bring that expertise of knowing of the project background, but also that being our expertise to be able to help them take it to the end of the line, where you know it's going to be a beneficial project that's cost effective for the entire harbor.
And so you've worked with the people that are going to be actually doing the job.
That's correct. That was I
mean,
actually that's my team that I led when I was at Moffett Nickel.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah.
And it's a great team. Have great working relationship with them.
Yeah, and you guys remember Eunice that came with me at the beginning and everything.
Oh, yeah.
So he just sent me pictures from his vacation. Yeah. So we're all still friends.
Beyond that, just a little bit more experience specific to commercial harbors and with commercial harbors with a MARAD grant funding. We've done this exact same thing in Ventura Harbor. We helping them get a MARAD funding for a commercial fishing dock that they have. It's going to be a similar size, about $20 million. And they're actually working directly with the Port of Hueneme to relocate all of the commercial fishing to a consolidated location within Ventura Harbor. So they're the number one West Coast market squid catch facility for the West Coast, and we're helping them build that out using the exact same funding
mechanism. Where's that? Ventura?
Ventura County. Yeah.
CBs are.
Yeah, CBs, yeah. And just a little bit more about, you know, how we structured our proposal itself. We took a little bit of a right size approach. I think there was a pre-proposal meeting. I think we asked a lot of good questions in terms of what the expectations were. I think, you know, it became apparent to us, you don't really need somebody here 100% of the time, just sitting here, like, you know, not to say wasting time, but, you know, only here for the critical components to try and right size the support that you need through construction, right? And that's why we structured our support like only at critical milestones that were here, only whenever you need someone to actually come inspect the site during construction, and we would be here.
So that's a cost being more cost effective.
Right? Yeah. So normally, you know, at the beginning of the job, we would spend more time to make sure that the contractor is doing what the, you know, what are in the design documents, and they're complying with all the environmental requirements. And why, you know, when they're getting started, that's when they'll have the most questions. And then so we'd spend a lot of time there, but there's going to be weeks and weeks and months where they're just driving piles. And, you know, it doesn't take a PE to watch people drive piles. Yeah. Matter of fact, you can sit in here, and if you don't hear them, then, you know, you need to go outside.
Because we have problems with piles driving over there without alignment and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's
is
the
that
one
part
thing.
Of the project manager scope is to make sure that they get the piles in line, or is that their engineer?
Well, so there's always two ways for this. You can either, you know, have us do that or bring in a special geotech inspector or something, or you can put that requirement on the contractor, but it's always going to be more expensive on the contractor side. They're going to just charge you more. And there's, you know, potential for a little conflict of interest if they bring in their geotech. But they have to provide the pile driving records, and then they have to measure them to make sure that they're plumb and in the right spot. And we check that off. We would be here for the first one or two.
What if they weren't?
If they weren't?
Like our doc.
In the right
we
spot.
We have pilings that were in the inspector. Passed them, and I don't know how that happened exactly. So that's
we're going to talk to you about ways to choose the right people too. We have a specific topic about, you know, the reality of this whole project is, and we want to talk to you about this, is almost all the money's in the construction, right? Vast majority of it is in. You've seen our fees there. Under 5%, you know, so 95% of this is in the construction. So everything that we're going to do starting now is to reduce the risk in construction of something going wrong, reduce the change orders, because a 5% change order is our entire fee, right? So, you know, we aren't just charging a fee. We are protecting your interest, making sure that you're getting what you're paying for, and trying to reduce the future risk and cost. So that's what we're doing for you. So when we get to the next slide, we'll tell you some of the ways we're going to do it.
Will you be the one that will sign off on the project at the end?
Yes. Yes, we will sign off. The contractor will usually be responsible for doing the survey, but we can. So this is the great thing, is if we're on your team during the last of the design, we get to help dictate how the specifications are written. So we can put in there what's required so that we can sign off on it. So we can say, we're gonna have an independent surveyor come in, and they're gonna measure each one of these piles, and they're gonna certify that they're in the right spot. You know, the contractor is supposed to do it too, but if you know, you have a history of that not going well, we'll certainly address that in the specs. Okay. And that's the kind of thing that, you know, we're here to help finish this and get it permitted. But the whole time, again, everything we're thinking of, even in the design and the specifications, is how does this impact the construction, and how does it impact the risk and cost at the back end?
Yeah, and not only just specifying how you measure the inspection, but also what are the rectified, how do you rectify it in the end? Whether they have to pull and redrive a pile, whether or not they're allowed to do something else to rectify the situation. We're specifying that before, so we have an agreement beforehand of what they're supposed to be doing if the situation does come up.
And there's ways in the design, you know, if you're doing cast in place, you know, the piles can be a little bit farther out because you're building them, or if it's precast, they have to be super, super tight. So knowing all those and setting those tolerances appropriately in the design can change the final cost a lot. Go ahead.
Next slide, please.
Well, you missed it. This Jerry's going to be your full-time single point of contact. I'm always going to be around as the number two guy, just so that you have two people that you can always go to, but he's going to be primary. And this, yeah, we spoke to this just a little bit. I'll run through this real quick. Again, getting us on early with the knowledge that we have and understanding that we aren't just trying to finish a design to get to the end of the design. You know, we're going to be in a unique place. You're going to have designers, you're going to have a permit team. We're the guys representing you now saying, okay, you know, this is the design, but can we push on this design to get the cost down? Can we try this? Can we do this? And the great thing is if someone new comes in on this, they're probably going to ask them, you know, why didn't you look at this? And why didn't you look at this? Jerry's already looked at all that. So he was the one who did the geotech, right? And it changed.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, an example of that is when we were up, I was at the company, Mop and Nickel, one of the things we'll be looking at is we worked with the geotech. And they did an initial analysis and said, oh, well, you know, we don't have really enough information, so we're just going to be really conservative on the design. That design ended up that you're going to need something called rock sockets, where you actually have to drive a pile into the rock and then actually anchor into the rock as well. But we worked with them to do a little bit more thorough analysis, and they found out that you don't need the actual socket. You still need to maybe do some tree drilling and do it with a pipe pile, but you don't need the rock socket, which ends up construction cost saving 25%.
Boom. Right. So he's already been through that technically. He's been through those options, right? And he knows exactly how those options impact the bottom line at construction. And so that's minimizing that, the design change. Also reducing the risk in permitting, not only the time, but for instance, we saw in there that the permitting agencies were talking about using bubble curtains to, you know, this is imagine a big ring that blows air. So when you're driving the piles, to reduce the amount of ambient noise, right? That's really expensive and it's difficult, and you're operating machinery all day long to make these bubbles. We would come in and challenge that and challenge the permitting agencies that, you know, that is difficult. And we would ask why they, you know, thought the sound was going to be so bad. And then what we've done before for the Navy is we've actually gone and tested. You know, we drive pile, we put it on an acoustical array out here in the harbor. And if we can prove that it's under whatever the decibel threshold is out there for marine mammals, then you don't have to have the requirement. So, you know, that's just an example of some of the things. And we want to make sure that we get the permits, and we want to make sure we're doing the right thing. But we don't want them to be overly onerous just because someone was trying to get to the end. I was trying to get a permit as opposed to maybe pushing a little longer, a little harder to get the right permit. And I think that's where we would come in this position.
I'll say that particular thing, the bubble curtain, we've actually had it where it's so onerous for a contractor to try and meet that they've actually taken it upon themselves to try and go back to the permitting agencies after they've awarded their contract to try and get some sort of separate agreement with them. That which, if you're letting them do that and not doing it ahead of time, it's going to delay the schedule by quite a bit, probably like 6 months.
So you're going to be looking ahead to get the permits before it serves the delay in the project.
That's right.
And the next thing is really important is we want to make sure you get the right contractor in here. With the right contractor that knows what they're doing, especially people that we may have worked with before and we've seen their products and they can demonstrate it, we have a lot more faith in them and we can trust them a little bit more. One of the ways to do that is to hold an industry day. And that is before the design is complete and before the permits are complete, you invite, you open up and you invite contractors in and you walk them around, you talk about the project, you show them the drawings, and then they're never going to talk in front of each other, you know, but afterwards you interview them and say, hey, is there anything in the drawings or in the permits or anything that you saw that we could do or change to make this easier on you, to reduce your risk, to make it faster and to make it cheaper. So the big deal, I mean, in risk doesn't ever go away. It's just shared differently between owner and contractor, right? And deciding who holds that risk is a really big lever on the total cost. The more risk you put on the contractor, the more unknowns, the more he's going to jack his price up to cover. So getting things like this bubble curtain out, in Jerry's case, they'd already priced in the bubble curtain. And then they went back and tried to get it taken out. So you were still paid for that. So having us do that beforehand, you're not going to get that residual overage. The other thing that's really good about this industry day is to talk to them about how they're going to build it. You had a question specifically about water-based construction and land-based construction. The more we know about that, that we can put into the permit. If we had a contractor come in and say, I could do this whole thing from the land, never have to be in the water, that changes our permitting situation 1,000%. So getting that real information from contractors beforehand, and they'll be happy to do anything that, one, gets the price where you can award it, and two, lets them show how smart they are and how cooperative they are and how much they want the job. So we think that is a really big key in trying to keep the prices down and the risk down.
Yeah, and maybe identifying things like, you know, if you do it all by land, maybe it extends the construction window. When we know there's an in-water work window, maybe they're struggling to make that in-water window work, and it extends the schedule. Or, you know, maybe they do some of it by the water, but it costs a little bit more to do that. So there's going to be a balancing act.
Yeah, well, and it may be, you know, because you have that in-water work window, maybe they come in and they're only doing in-water work so that when that window shuts, they're coming back and doing all of their topside work.
Yeah.
And understanding that and being able to put that kind of thing into a permit is really, really valuable, because it tells the regulators that you've actually thought through how this is going to go, and you can tell them exactly, you know, what the impacts are and what the risks are. So we think that's super, super powerful. We talked about this, minimizing change orders, making sure that, you know, by having us as, we're actually like a third party reviewer, right? Ovendickel's going to have their review team. They're going to look at it. They're going to look at it for completeness and accuracy. We're going to look at it as if we were really, really bad contractors, and we're going to look for holes and flaws, and we're going to look for gaps in there that we could exploit, and then we're going to close them. So we're behaving differently than we would if we were running this internally, right? Because we work for you. And then we all know the one thing that I heard loud and clear from all of the stakeholders is continuity of operations. And I think understanding your process, seeing it happen, seeing how it works, I think that's super important. And I think we're 100% aware that that's, you know, primary goal of getting this done and making sure that that's clear to the contractors. That's one thing you can talk about at this industry day, and you can tell them, you know, look, no matter what happens, you're going to have to assure us that we're still going to have access to, you know, the important parts, loading, the unloading, the power, ice.
And I think really early conversations with the commercial fishing also to, like, how much space do you actually need versus how much can the contractor use for layout space, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe that moves around during construction. Maybe there's a spot that works better than others, and we can figure out what
working all of that, you know, so that you still have access to the refrigerators, so that they aren't tearing up the whole parking lot or all of that stuff, because you're going to need the contractors to move most of those things probably and relocate them, and temporary power, all of those things. Are super important.
Do you see any reason on this, at least the seawall, why you couldn't do it all from the land?
As long as you can get close enough to, you know, drive the sheets. I mean, when you're starting to tear all that up, and, you know, with the old
sheet. My understanding is you're going to build a platform out there that's built strong enough to build to bring in a giant crane.
Yeah. And so they should be able to reach.
I think they're doing that right now. They're taking some source samples to make sure that it could support a crane of that size, is what I understand where it's going on right now. And so, in my vision, is that it seemed to me like everything could be done from land.
For the seawall part.
Seawall, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we've actually seen, I mean,
so right now, you're going to see this project all the way through to Citizens Dock.
That's our hope.
That's the plan?
Yeah. That's our hope.
I thought we were just shooting seawall right now.
Yeah. I mean, that's where we'll start. The reality
so
is that
it was for the entire project, the seawall and Citizens Dock.
I think that's how the RFP was written. It was for not the original Citizens Dock,
right,
but
right.
The new Pier 1 portion.
New Pier 1.
Yeah.
Next, Mike.
Yeah, it basically is because of the mobilization cost, we're trying to coordinate those two projects as much as possible.
Yeah,
this is just, we're here. We've been with this project since day one. I don't know if you guys remember, I came in here, I just had my knee replaced. Standing on one leg about the black out, but we made it through that. We'll make it through all the rest of this. And we really do want you guys to know that we're here to be your partners, and we're here to solve these issues with you and figure it out. You know, we'll figure out how to get things done.
I think our concern is budget and getting them done with the money that we have.
Yeah, we have some specific ideas on that. So that was all we wanted to say. Now we can go right into your questions if you'd like.
Yeah, kind of.
Or you have
having looked at the numbers,
mm-hmm.
I feel like I have saved enough money for Kia, and I'm walking into a Lincoln dealership. And that I think I heard something that you were saying that would solve my problem. Because before, with the last meeting, we were kind of questioning and said, okay, how can we reduce those numbers that we heard? And it's like going to this Lincoln dealer and say, okay, what would happen if I take away the tinted windows or some other controls?
Mm-hmm.
I could never get back to my Kia price. And what kind of calms me down is you have seen us.
Mm-hmm.
You have dealt with us. You know our financial situation. And I want anybody who deals with us understand where we are, what we have. Do I understand? Here's my question comes in. Some of the techniques that you're going to use is you will try to reduce the actual construction cost so we can afford you.
Yeah, and that's why you're paying us. You're leveraging our ability to bring down the construction cost at 5%, right? If we're at just the rough numbers, we're at 5% of that. Philosophically, and this is for whoever you hire, you don't want to try to cut our budget to make this project work.
Yeah.
You're pushing on a rope. You're pushing on 5%, and it's the 5% that has the capability of reducing the 95%. Pushing on our budget isn't nothing personal. It's not right. It's pushing on the construction budget that is going to get us there. And one of the things that we're going to tell you is if you look at our cost estimate and you look at the monies that you have in place, your 250 to 350, our cost estimate gets you through design and permitting and helps get your contractor selected. We can start that today without the other monies coming because that work is still valid. It's still going to be good. And then we will help you with those grant applications. We're in this to win it, right? We know that without those grants, we don't go any farther. You don't go any farther. The whole project doesn't go any farther. So we have a vested interest as well in trying to get that with you. So we're perfectly willing to start right now, knowing that there's not the funding into the future, but it's the way we have to do it. So
yeah,
I know I jumped ahead to one of the specific questions, but if you need to go through all those questions to score them, but please ask at any point if you have any questions.
Did you do any work on the Ventura Pier after it got clobbered by those high seas back 10 years?
Ventura Pier. I mean,
I didn't.
They did an extensive replacement of all the miles.
I don't know about Ventura. I'll just say that I personally have worked on probably over a dozen piers just in the state of California, like from Santa Monica Pier, like Santa Monica Pier, it's the largest municipal pier in California. That was my baby. Like I helped them develop a capital improvement program to replace strategic food piles throughout there, and how with an amusement park, on top still being active, how they repair things while people are still riding the rides of the boat.
Sure.
So,
Pretty
and
cool.
I just had to pull my resume together for another project that we're interviewing for, and I counted up, and I've worked on 80 marinas so far. Every single one of them has piles. Almost every single one of them, we're still de dealing with operators that are still trying to work. We're still, dealing with, move this boat over here and rebuild this dock and move those boats over there and rebuild that dock and all of that kind of logistics.
You guys understand that this is a grant-funded project.
100%.
Yeah, and our concerns in the past have been keeping the grant providers happy with the numbers and the progress, because we don't want to slow up the payments, because we'll be paying you out of what we receive from them.
We understand that clearly, and that's one of the things that we're most aware of and concerned of, is that when we get this grant for the construction, that's it. That's all the money we have, and we know that. And we even want to organize the contract docs so that the contractor understands that there's no, you come back for a change or whatever, there's just no more money. So that's really, really important,
Expose the project now.
Yeah,
it really
there's
does.
two very specific portions of this project. It's the MARA grant that's federal funded, that has specific guidelines you have to follow or else you don't pay. And the marine construction that, you have to have a background in marine construction to understand how things get built on the water.
Yeah, and we'll work with, I know you're bringing in grants administrator, or we'll work with them to make sure that the even starting at the construction docs and the bid documents, that the contractor, when they're bidding on certain elements, that those elements match up with the requirements of the grant, so that when we get invoices, you get invoices from them, it shows exactly what the grant people want to see on there. There's some things they fund and some things they don't, right? And so we're going to set up all that paperwork ahead of time with your grant administrator to make sure that everything that is requested from you and every payment that's requested starts with the contractor, comes all the way through our approval process, their approval process, your approval process, and that they can pay.
You guys are responding to the project manager RFP.
Correct.
Is there a mission creep that can be considered where you're maybe taking over some of the contracting or grant administration? Some of the
Some,
other.
there may actually be some efficiencies in that. We have dozens and dozens of grant writers that do this. It's we're certainly not, certainly not opposed to it, and it's certainly not out of our wheelhouse.
Yeah, this executive team that you're seeking to join, we have basically four team members, project manager, the contractor, the grant administrator, and the accountant. And going through your materials that I have, seems like there's some talent that you guys possess or have access to that could perhaps address one of those other
I think
team
the
members.
grants, I mean, we have a lot of accountants,
Yeah.
you need a construction project specific accountant, and you probably want them to be sitting somewhere here with you, right? Or very, very close. So I'm not sure.
And I just say that we're kind of the tip of the spear of this entire team. Like we have a specific program that's called SMARTS that we are going to implement that houses all the documentation and communication through all the contractor, the grant administrator, the accountant. It's going to be like everyone comes to us, and then we see who's the most important and person that needs to know about this piece of information, and we'll communicate that to the right parties.
That's some efficiencies that we bring to the process too, is this process that logs every question, logs every RFI, logs when it came in, logs when we responded to it, how we responded to it, automatically checks to make sure that it was addressed, keeps things rolling and very, very clear. And everybody has visibility to it 100% of the time.
And so,
So
like you're,
you'll know every day, the contractor will know.
and the people aren't inundated with endless emails that you need to respond to too. Like up for your team, there's probably stuff that you guys don't really need to be brought into.
So you were involved with Moffett Nichols?
Yeah.
Okay, were you involved with them while they were here working on our proposal, doing the engineering unit?
Yeah, I was the engineer of record. Like if if it's going to design, my stamp would be on the structural drawings if I was still there.
So it's possible that you can pick up some of that work that was done that you're familiar with and say, okay, we don't need to duplicate that effort because we've already done it. I've looked at it. I'm satisfied with it. And I think we can go with it. Is that something you can do? Help us cut back on future engineering costs.
I certainly think that we can help them get to the answers quickly, for sure. I mean, we know where all the bodies are buried. We've been there already. And there's no need for another consultant to come in and try and
learn it.
With respect to them, you heard from Mr. Shepherd here, our chairman, that there was some discussion we've had up here about the tremendous advantages of having the seawall be a land-based project as much as possible. But I think Moffat and Nichols came back and said they were uncertain as to these strength of the seabed below our parking area out here. Will it support that big crane? So I think if we can support the big ash crane right outside of this building, right out there, then that would allow us to do the land-based seawall removal.
Right? Yeah.
So that would be one of the first
things. Well, and we can, that'd be one of the first things we can do. And again, if we have this industry day, we can bring the contractors in and we can say, hey, How would you go about this? What's if you know you're going to have to repave this out here anyway? What would it cost for you to drive 4 or 5 pile and make a brand new concrete platform to sit on? That may be much cheaper than bringing in board. I mean, waterwork's expensive, you know, and the insurance costs go way up. The mobilization right now, if we were having to pay for fuel to bring barges from the Bay Area or from, you know, Eureka, and we all know, you know, Humboldt's going to be doing something someday, and all the materials and barges are going to be down there. So,
have you ever worked with Bragg crane machines?
Yeah, they're a mobile crane. Yeah,
big action. They can be questioned about what it would take, what size of crane, what capacity, strength it would take to yank the old seawall out, and what kind of a support base it would require.
Yeah, those would be the type of people that we would go out and curate a list of people that should come to this day. And we're basically what we're doing is we're going out to the industry and we're asking for their help to work in a cooperative way and figure out how to get this done. This is what we mean by us being a part of your team and bringing in other industry experts being a part of your team. There's no pride of authorship here. If somebody else has a, you know, these guys can come in and say, oh, well, we can spread the load by using, you know, timber rafts, and we can do this and we can do all of this. And that's great. Then we don't have to worry about it. So we're 100% into that.
So knowing that each project is unique, you guys could look at maybe your last 3 projects. Did those come in within the budget and on time, those projects that you guys have managed?
I'd say, yeah, absolutely. I mean, so we didn't get into all the example projects that we had listed here, but, you know, one of them specifically was a 10-year project that I helped lead for Alamitos Bay Marina. It was literally in construction for 10 consecutive years. It was like the bane of my existence. But, you know, I think one of the things that helped us, that we were always there. We were the consistent, like contractors changed, contractor project managers changed. We were the only consistent thing as part of that team. And I think it really helped our communication with the client and them trusting us that whenever, you know, a critical decision came up, like we were always there to make it. And that project, you know, it not only like after it finished construction, they were looking at other projects. They were coming to us saying, hey, we know that we can trust you and we want you involved in this project in the future.
So one of my concerns is cost overruns, because it could literally sink this project.
Yeah.
And you know, throughout this project, that's something that we're going to have to really keep an eye on. So, I mean, if we can get this done on budget, on time.
Yeah, well, there's always, so the one thing that we like to do is establish kind of a risk register really early. And this is something we can talk to the contractors about too. What's the riskiest thing here? And if they tell us what it is, we can either try to design around that, or when we're going for the grant, say, look, we think that this is whatever it is, that this particular task is $6 million. But the contractors think this is very risky, so we'd like to carry an extra 20% on this task as a in case.
Do you think that's about the industry standard, about a 20% cost overrun, factor that in?
Well, I've never seen, I've never been on a project that's 20.
There's actually a requirement from MARAD. They say it has to be X percent. I think it's 15 or 20%.
Yeah. So they're aware that, you know, things happen. I mean, nobody could have predicted that gas prices would be doubled, right? And so if you get a bid now, the contract, actually, if you were bidding right now, contractors would say this bid is good for about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
The volatility of the market.
And you know, in the, you know, when we had the port crisis, and we had, there was no steel coming out of China, basically, and there's no, you know, there was no goods. So
but I think also the good part of this industry day is not only they're going to help us with the construction methods, but also the construction materials. So one of the things that could be is that I know me being involved in the design, we had envisioned this being a precast concrete member at the top, but if precast elements, the nearest precast yards are so far and the shipping becomes too expensive and it's actually more expensive or more cost effective than maybe set up their own batch plant right here on site.
Yeah.
I mean,
All, that's all the kind of stuff that we can do to run interference for you on those things ahead of time. And we can, the contractors will say, oh, I'd never precast that because I have to ship it from San Francisco.
Yeah.
Or they'll say, I'll cast that in place all day long.
So you guys are ready to manage contingency plans.
Oh, absolutely. And that's, I think that's one of the things that, one of the best contributions that we can, again, we've been talking this whole time about managing risk, managing cost overruns, understanding what that risk is and quantifying it and deciding whether you're going to hold it, contractor's going to hold it, or you're going to share it somehow.
And I think not only that, I think to your point about managing the cost overruns, in the actual bid forms, having your highest risk items, actually identifying, okay, if you need an extra one of this, how much is it going to cost us? So we agree to that price up beforehand and not just surprise for the design.
Right. If you have to drive an extra pile or you have to add something in there, those prices are already in so that there's no negotiation.
Yeah.
I mean, no surprise.
You already said that this was going to be, you know, timber fender piles. Someone comes in and for some reason you need three more. It's already in there. So, and you say, here, put these three in.
Yeah, so I really like the industry day concept because that's going to be a huge factor. Like the idea of putting in this platform is not a foregone conclusion because, for instance, if one of the construction firms is going to ship the materials on your barge, there's a cost of moving it from the barge on land.
It may be. So we never like to dictate. I mean, we don't dictate means and methods. We don't tell them how to do it. We tell them what we want done at the end. Right. We tell them what they can't do. You know, you can't dig a big hole out here and you can't throw all the scrap in the ocean. But we like to allow them because they have an incentive to do this as economically as they can after they bid. Right. So it may be that because we're shipping materials from so far that it's easier and cheaper to bring it in by ship. And then once they have a ship and a barge here, it may be easier for them to do that rather than build this platform. But we don't know. But we can. The nice thing is instead of waiting until the bid or waiting till after, we're going to ask them before the bid. And we're going to ask them those kinds of questions. I mean, most of them will say that's something, you know, they aren't going to get that far into the details, but sometimes they will. Sometimes if they really want the job and they're really thinking about how much it would be, they'll go through that exercise and figure out what, you know, they'll go check their suppliers. They'll go check, you know, availability of barges and tugs and all those things.
Do you have the party list of all the people you invite to this?
Yeah. We'll have port and pints open and everything. So I think next slide, so we went through one of the questions I think that somebody asks is they're asking for references for Jerry. So these are all folks that you can talk to. Oh, we even know one of those guys. So I don't know if it's fair to list Mike here as one of our references, but I think he'd say something good.
We've worked with Bellingham Marine quite a bit.
We know Eric. We know Eric for the last 20 years.
And we not only, you know, relationship through like different projects and us being like either the designer of record and working with them, we collaborate together. And this specific one was we're design building together. So we were on a team for it was It was Los Angeles County, like the I don't think you can get any more red tape in the entire United States. But we worked together to get a not only Los Angeles County, but an essential facility for lifeguard, sheriff, fire department. And you know the project just ended in construction within the budget, and you know the client was super happy with everything.
And I think we just have your list of questions if you'd like to. If you'd like to go through those, if you'd like to ask anything else.
What do you if you've looked at this project, what do you think the time frame could be? Getting started and finish at least the seawall, and then of course system stuff.
Well, I mean, certainly they could be working these together at the same time, right? That would minimize the overhead costs, you know, in terms of a site supervisor and a, you know, instead of doing it in series.
Because I think our plan was when talking about that was just to try to get the seawall done first to get some hoists moved onto them so that we could operate on that as we move around into the main dock, and so that we can function through our crab season mainly. And then we've got other fisheries going on right now, and so I think that was the discussion we've had earlier, is to work it that way, and
Then build the first pier, move everything over, then demo this and build the
yeah.
rest. I think we need minimum of two, if not three, in water working seasons to get
Okay.
that done. So
I think
maybe
that's what we were looking at before. And
I think that's still pretty
how
accurate.
soon could it get started in your mind, do you think?
Right now, I think the biggest thing that's going to hold us back is regulatory. I mean, we know that we can push Moffett Nickel to get the drawings done, and we can help by reviewing and doing all those things. The biggest problem is that there's just not enough staff at the regulatory agencies to look at all this. You know, the present administration tried to streamline the process and get rid of a lot of the rules, but then unfortunately it laid off a whole bunch of the people that could do it. So it's a quagmire right now. We know of people, not even like National Fisheries, that's the worst. They have to sign off on the Army Corps permits. And we know of people that aren't even getting their stuff read for a year. So, I mean, we've already been into this process, and I think that would be one of the first things. I would love to be ready, you know, ready to go the next working window, you know, next summer. Get stuff going next summer. The seawall may be able to go earlier. Or, you know, the great thing is if we find out, for instance, that we need a crane pad or something like that, we can even talk about issuing an early construction package on that gets that done while we're still working on in-water permits.
Right.
So there's things that we can do and things that we can build, and we can put in all the utilities up here and reroute and do all of those things that don't require the in-water permits. We could get started on some of that.
Pretty much prep the project.
Get everything ready, get stuff. We can start staging stuff. You know, that's one of the reasons to have this industry day. If we have an industry day and we talk to some people and we absolutely think that we love these guys, you know, we can do a two-phase procurement, I hope, where one is qualifications. You all show us that you're qualified. We pick the most qualified people, and then we go to the bid. And if we find someone that'd be willing to come in and do early work packages and smaller work packages before the big project. And I wouldn't be afraid for you to even get the contractor on board before we had the permits, you know, with the contingency that, you know, if the permits change anything. We should know if there's going to be big issues like the bubble curtains.
I
We
guess
should
our
know
big
pretty quickly.
concern is we're getting a lot of people. This kind of project's been going on for quite a while now, and a lot of people are wondering
Yeah, and getting
as to
impatient.
whether it's ever going to get done
No,
and
I
when we
thought
can get.
I, you know, that's why this idea of the industry day and the early work package, it shows that something's moving and you're demonstrating that you're building something, you're using the money wisely, you're demonstrating to MARAD and all of those folks that you know that you can do it. I mean, I do think some grant folks are reluctant to issue grants to people that they don't think can make it look like they made a smart decision, because they're investing in you, and you're investing in us, right? And
Gotcha.
so,
So the more that we can prove that we can do that, the more likely it is that they're going to give us more. So really quickly, if you want to go through, is 6% industry standard. That's about right. We're a little under that if it's an $18 million project. We talked about right sizing. We also talked about the fact that we don't need all of that money right now. Let's get going on the stuff that we have. Whatever money you have, we'll tell you what. And if you look at our budget, you had mentioned that you had somewhere between 250 and 350,000. That was your estimate. If you look at our tasks one and two, task one is all the rest of the design and the permitting. That's 250,
250-ish.
and then getting through the contractor and getting them on board is gets us pretty close to 350. So, you can see right there. We put it in writing that we can get you there.
And I think it's, you asked about schedule too, why that's important to push that forward as quick as we can, is because us knowing the process, like you're not going to be able to actually get the final permits until you have your final design as well. So like looking at how that design changes from the initial design that was submitted to them, and then having those agreements in place before a contractor can go out there and start construction.
In section five,
Six, yeah, page 37.
Yeah,
although you can't count pages,
I think you can just click on it actually.
Oh, maybe.
Oh, the table of contents.
Yeah, click on the table of contents. Yeah.
You can make them go back up. There's not a lot of
Yeah.
them. You can feel bad.
Oh, almost.
Probably in the original document, if I worked for, we
Yeah.
put in their own PowerPoint so that.
Yeah. Yeah, while you're looking, I guess, what was question two? No question two.
That's what I was trying to look at.
But this page with the
Oh, I just went all the way back. It's
yeah,
last couple cool pages up there.
yeah, I'll just go with that.
Or, oh, yep. Or, yeah.
Is
Oh, there it is. I got it.
Number of in field workers.
Before
Before page 40,
yeah, just
I got it.
one up. Yeah.
And zoom to the right a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, there's your 245 and your 111.
Out of all these costs that you guys have listed here, which ones do you think are going to fluctuate the most?
So we're really working hard so that they don't. We're really trying to getting a good contractor, having a tight set of bid documents, having clear responsibilities in the specs. We're trying to make these not vary. Now, you've asked some other questions. We do think that there's the opportunity for us to train somebody here that works for you, that maybe has another job that comes in, and we'd be more than happy to do that. Tell them what to look for, tell them to report. We can have daily reporting from the contractor that every day he has to report to us, and we can look at it. The other thing is, cameras are so good and so cheap now. We can do a whole lot of, putting up cameras so that we can watch from home. And we can have we're hiring 1,000 junior engineers and 1,000 interns. So we have 2,000 people that we can train on our end to watch cameras and to log stuff. Those guys are smart. We can even have AI talk about summarize what it sees on the campus. And so we have those kinds of methods too. There is a little bit of, the things that we like to think the things that vary the most are the things that we can't control. We can't control, permitting. Permitting is you negotiating with an agency with us in the middle. And we can't control either of you. So that gets a little, if something's going to vary wildly, the permitting is probably there because we can't control it. The rest of this stuff, we're kind of the boss of, and you're kind of the boss of, in terms of if you want us here every month reporting to you in person, we can do that. But maybe you only need it at the beginning and at every critical one. So maybe it's the first 4 months, and then maybe it's every other month or every third month, and we're online the rest of the time. And that's the kind of thing that we're going to listen to you. You're going to tell us what you're comfortable with. And if it turns out that, there's a bunch of big issues out there, we're all going to know it at the same time. And then we're going to have to adjust for it, right? You're going to have to sit up here.
Yeah.
So question two was,
Just want to mention
oh.
that there. I think we should mention that.
What?
Things are normal though.
Oh, yeah. I hope you don't hear all of our good ideas again on Wednesday, since this is an open meeting and all of our numbers are open. But is there a way to reduce the number of on-site field work days for us? Yeah, what we reported is what you asked for in the RFP. But as we said, between it, bringing somebody else in and cameras and some of that training, I think, and the updates at the public board meetings. Again, that's going to be up to you. And I do think it varies. And I do think requirement varies.
Well, one thing I noticed in some of the other packets is that talk about weekly updates. Or maybe every 2 weeks. So would that help you if you just cut it back once or two?
Yeah, and in the specs, we can drive what the contractor is required to report out. And we can say you're required to give us a summary of work with photos 3 days before every board meeting, and that can go in there. Now, whether it's cheaper to have that, they have to do that anyway because they're tracking all of this. And we just have to sign off that the work was done. And some of it will be is like, hey, Mike, are there 44 piles in the water right now? So that doesn't take someone like us coming up, and we can pick that on the camera. Next questions, I guess. And feel free to stop. Yep, existing harbor staff, we can train those. In water work, I think we talked about that a little bit, but I do think we can solve for the seawall, for sure, by doing that as much as possible.
I've been thinking about it and looking at it, and I don't know why it couldn't be built. I know the dock is a different situation, however, but the seawall seems like it should be able to be done all on land, I would
Yeah, and I wonder if you could even put a crane out on the pier, reach back to
think.
the
Well,
seawall.
yeah, and
I
I've
don't
seen
know
other
if it's big
designs
enough.
how they build the piers and bridges and sections
Yeah, we've seen that. That gets to be pretty expensive.
Okay.
But the great thing is we don't have to answer that question. The contractor is going to because they're going to do whatever is most economical.
Yeah, because the big you hit the nail on the head. The big factor is how close can the crane get to the wall, and that is purely based on what's the size of the crane. And the contractors could crane can vary from 250 tons down to 50, 60 ton. Like, we don't know what they're going to propose for the sort of size of project that we asked.
And what's available.
Yeah, and
I
what's available.
mean, you've got a lot of big projects
A
going
lot of
on
big
already.
projects going on. That was one of my concerns,
Yep.
especially within this county alone. The amount of projects that we got going on and being able to get the rock, get everything that's going to be needed to do the project because of the amount of construction we have going on.
I think is that the end of I think that's the end of the questions that we were kind of given. Happy to answer anything else.
No, that's a good presentation.
How soon can we set up an industry day?
We'd want to make sure that the drawings have enough detail in them to be meaningful, and we'd want to get another round of conversations with regulatory agencies to make sure that we there's a sweet spot, right? We don't want to be so far down the line that we're gonna have to change a bunch of things, but we have to be far enough to give them quality information to expect quality feedback.
I was quite some time ago. I saw a lot of drawings. I actually gave them to Bill, to our maintenance manager, to look at. And so, how much are those are not the
They're about 30%, right?
30%.
Those are his drawings.
Yeah, the seawall was a little bit lagged behind of the pier.
So a lot of those were
it's more like 15 and 30. So yeah, you need both of them to be about like 60 to 90-ish.
And so that's still ongoing right now. Is it being worked on right now?
I don't know the
Those
answer to
final
that.
drawings? That's Moffett and Nickel.
Yes.
And do they have they said anything about when that they could be completed?
Well, the like was mentioned, the biggest holdup right now is on the regulatory side and getting the staff from some of these agencies to respond. That all kind of figures into the final design as well, and what requirements we have to
I
do.
got
Like for instance, through the seismic, I think Jerry, you were involved in the seismic and that change, to was that 7.2 or something.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's an example of where these guys can intervene on our behalf and sort of not necessarily negotiate, but just reason with the agencies and say, hey, look, this is what we think is. And I think it was an eight eventually, right? Something like that.
Maybe that's 7.2 appears the least of our worries because we won't have a harbor.
And so you worked on those drawings, but you're not now
That's
because
correct.
you're with Kimberly Horn. And so there's another individual that you possibly know that is working on
Yes.
them. Could you be instrumental in getting them to move faster on it, or it's all over just getting the regulatory side of it?
Yeah, I mean the biggest thing that we've seen working with Moffett and Nickel the past couple of months is the level of staff at these agencies. They're backlogged, and there has been, some attrition with those agencies, over the past year. So.
I do think we can go to them. We can reinitiate the process with the regulatory and come in and explain to them that this is grant funded and that the grants have a sunset and that, this is money. If it's a state agency, this is money that the state's invested in this, the federal government's invested in this already, and you're preventing that investment from being successful.
And also the need for the harbor.
The
Did you ever
requirements,
look at that? I mean,
they do, they
we
do.
debilitated right now
Yeah.
because that's not functioning at all. It's been
Coastal
condemned.
Commission can actually be your friend in that case. Coastal Commission is very, very positive towards commercial fishing and preserving commercial fishing in California. And so we know we worked with the tuna guys down at Seaport San Diego, and those guys went to the Coastal Commission and talked to them and had the Coastal Commission lobbying to keep them in place and to make sure that the designs that we produced there kept them in their harbor and kept them going. So I do think there's opportunities to get some
Because
folks on your side.
my understanding is the failing of it is actually stalling the work out also because they're concerned about some contamination of the seawall, and it's the contamination thing coming from the reason that we need to rebuild it is because it's failing. And yet it's stalling the process of fixing it.
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, and when you say
Chicken or
contamination, you're
egg?
talking about if the seawall wants to fail.
Well, it's failing right
Soils.
now. There's holes out there that have developed, and it's actually going
And
into the
all
water.
that.
That's what they're concerned about, is that material going into the water, from what I've heard. And so, I mean, it seems like they would want to get it fixed
Yeah, and
to prevent that from continuing to happen.
I agree 100%. For some of them, it may just be that there's no one there to care. If no one's sitting in the seat over here at Fish and Wildlife or National Marine Fisheries or NOAA or any of those agencies that are required to review it, then.
I think also using that maybe as just a communication tool to them. We did the right thing of applying for a regular permit rather than an emergency permit, but we don't want it to become an emergency permit because something fails. So.
Well, yeah, I think it's,
So the coastal engineering community is kind of a close-knit, small community.
Oh,
And
yeah.
you guys had a chance to look at your competitor's proposal. So it's a delicate thing to criticize your colleagues' work, but is there something you want to highlight that differentiates your proposal from theirs? And you've already mentioned one. I mean, we already know this project. That's what you've got highlighted there in this slide.
Yeah, I mean, I think we have an advantage because of, we've been here with you since day one, and we have a deep understanding. And I think you understand our personal commitment as well too. So I think that means a lot. Not that the other firms wouldn't be equally committed. We've proven it. Maybe they've proven it too, in other places. But we certainly, we don't know the third firm, but we certainly know GHD very well, and they're a great quality firm. They do almost as well as us. The other personal guys.
But I think like one of the things I bring particularly is I know the area well too, and I grew up here. I've been spending this over 20 of my years of my life in this area, and not only do I want to see it succeed, I know some of the ins and outs about logistics of getting contractors here and trying to help facilitate where the best material options can be.
We're really anxious to get moving on. And
Well, we can get started right
Okay.
You take credit first.
Yeah, we'll take an IOU from you guys.
Yeah.
Good enough for us.
No, I am. I appreciate the presentation there.
Yeah, no
Absolutely.
problem.
Yeah.
And we'll be happy after your interviews on Wednesday. We'll be happy to answer questions, clarify things. If some other questions arise that you'd like us to answer as well.
And Rob, also thank you for your previous work in the harbor. Greatly
No, you're
appreciate
welcome.
it.
You're
Greatly
welcome.
appreciate it.
I did hear that our attenuator fix
Yeah.
went really, really
Saved us a
nice.
lot of money.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I'm really
We
proud.
hooked
I'll
that
be
up.
honest, I'm pretty proud of that. And
Yeah,
so
it was. It was
I
cool.
tell that story a lot.
You told you outlined it in the cafe as to what we should do, and everything you said that we should do worked.
Yeah.
Well, there you
Well,
go.
the cable got wedged in there, and
Yeah.
that was the last float that needed to be addressed. And other than cutting the cable, there was nothing else we could do. But it worked. Okay, the project went really well.
For those in the public who don't know, we're talking about refloating H dock. Rob came out as an expense and helped us. Just an idea.
And we had breakfast over at the restaurant, and he outlined what he would do if he were to do it. And we took that information from Rob and went out there and did it. And it worked very well. So that was pretty cool, I thought.
Yeah, I'm super, super happy it worked. Well, it's great to have people like you that have, big boats and big pumps and all the things that it takes to do that. Because, a normal marina or harbor may not have had the ability or be willing to take the challenge.
Well, yeah, we just
First,
that day we just said, well, we're going to go do what you said to do, and if it doesn't work, where are we out? So I had
yeah,
my crew
you're kind, yeah.
and then the
A
harbor
day, yeah.
crew, and the first one was really easy, and the second one was a little harder, and by the time we got to the end, I mean, we had to
Had
really,
a system
the
down too.
whole dock was sunk before we could relieve that last. And we didn't
Look.
think it was going to work. We actually had to go get more totes, more
Wow.
water, and just to get it sunk far enough. And then when the cable was in there, it was like another. But and it was like cool. It worked till he told us what to do, and it did.
He
It worked.
stole Home Depot out of 50-gallon drums and put
Yeah, we almost had a 50-gallon drum. Yeah, I had to go get more totes and more drums, and anyways, it was great. So I appreciate it. Yeah, saved us a lot of money. Have somebody else come to us.
time.
Yeah. Time and money. Yeah. And we got it for crab season. No power, no water, but at least gave some. It was full of large boats.
And you're well down the road in the grant recovery process.
Yep.
So,
Yep. And I think we're close on getting the power and water or somewhat.
And you guys remember Rob came out and gave us sort of an overview of the different, the scenarios.
the funding paths and when to do stuff and when to file and
Kind of a roadmap, yeah.
The roadmap,
develop the recovery roadmap. Look right there.
yeah.
Came up with the interim attenuator solution right there. There it is. So, gentlemen, is there anything else we can do for you? Sorry.
On that dock there, that project now, we're going to change the flotation of it. Was your concept on that one? That's a whole other project, but That's what Rob suggested, wasn't it?
Yeah, so through the Disaster Assistance Act process, you can restore to the original condition, and you can go 15% above that for mitigation, to reduce future hazards. And you can even go above the 15% if you can justify it, but 15% is automatic. And then if you want to go like 100% more, then you have to explain how it's going to reduce future damages. So that's where, Rob.
I think we can, I mean, I do think we could come up with putting supplemental floats underneath it to give it more buoyancy. And if we design those floats under there right, we could look at the hydrodynamics to keep it from,
That
that
in, you know,
down that downdraft that
that
we've got from that.
downdraft,
So we could at least look at it and know if we could fix it.
I mean, that project's going to be going on here pretty soon.
Well, just last week, I mean, we've been working with some engineers around the world. Like, there's a university in Italy just last week was contacting us and doing some fluid dynamic modeling. They're using some video footage. We sent them a bunch of data like a week ago, and so we got people around the world. It's sort of been a high profile case. It's very,
Well, it's
yeah.
we talked a little bit earlier. It's there's no there's nothing that the original designer did incorrectly out there that you could have reasonably expected. When I heard about this, and when I first heard, said, "Oh, that the dock sunk," I was like, "Oh," and then I saw the video. Oh my God, the dock sunk! So the amount of water and the velocity that went underneath there is just absolutely. It's a scale that normal people don't work with. So
The water
pretty
knowledge
amazing.
that's come out of this harbor just before the
Well,
tsunami
you're like the world's biggest test base sometimes. I hate to say it
into
again. But that's why people are interested, because they're studying this and they're doing CFD and they're looking at their own things. I do think there's something to be designed to, imagine if those supplemental floats had a particular shape or something that actually produced uplift.
Well, I think
airplane wing.
just yesterday there was an earthquake in the Philippines,
Yeah,
right?
it killed quite a few people, 35 people or something.
And they were
Yeah, I
talking
heard about it yesterday.
about, well, we think California's safe for a tsunami, but just wait a couple of days.
I
I know, but
whenever I hear a
I know,
tsunami,
let's head to Crescent
I
City
think in my
again.
mind, what part of the world is it in?
Yeah,
Can it get to us?
does
Because
it
if it does, it will get to
does
us.
it point at us at
Yeah,
all?
yeah. Is there any way? And then when I heard where it was, I go, well, I think we're pretty
That's
safe
probably
with
pretty cheap.
that.
That's probably too far.
Good, yeah.
So,
Interesting.
good. All right.
One last year came from Russia. Well, thank you guys very much.
All right. Thank
Yeah.
you.
Always enjoy seeing you, Bob.
No, hey, I really appreciate it. It's good to see you guys again as well.
All right.
Gary, nice meeting you.
Nice to meet you guys. Have a
Later.
great day.
Did you go to high school here?
I did. No, I kind of did dual citizenship. I was half Southern California, half up here. So like I spent all my summers from May
Oh, I
till
gotcha.
September up here every year. Yeah.
Cool. All right.
That's why he was lying that it was raining. He's
Yeah.
not 100%. Although I've come here for Christmas breaks for sure. That was my winter dual citizenship.
Yeah, cool. I love that. Yeah, we
It's
aren't part of Southern California. It's
funny.
dual citizenship. Hmm.
Thank you, guys.
Look
Thank
forward to hearing
you.
from you. Okay, with that presentation, I will adjourn the meeting, and we'll see you Wednesday at 2 o'clock. And we have a closed session, or well, is it again?
12:30.
12:30. Yeah.